Now, the reading this morning is from John 10, verse 1 to 18, and also verse 27. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he has a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." May our hearts and minds and spirit be open to listen to God's word, and may it prompt us to do his will.
Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? It's great to see everyone. Thank you, Caroline, for reading that scripture and for the prayer. This was her first time doing this, and she did a fantastic job, didn't she? Absolutely. It can be nervous having to speak in front of people, and you would have never known it was your first time doing that. So, great job. Well, Caroline already mentioned that our baptism class, it's baptism and membership class that we're going to be doing. Mark and I are going to be leading it on Wednesday, October the 27th here at the church. If you're even remotely interested in baptism, please come out to this class. We want you to come out to the class just to be able to answer any questions that you might have. I know that there's a lot of people with a lot of questions about baptism. And again, what does the Bible say is the prerequisite for baptism? It's salvation. In the all throughout the Bible, when in the New Testament, people would give their lives to the Lord, and they would be baptized that day, them and their family. So it's It's just accepting Christ into our lives and choosing to follow him. And the Bible tells us to make a public declaration of our faith. Can we be saved without being baptized? Yes, we can. There are instances like that in the Bible, like the man on the cross beside Jesus. He didn't have time to be baptized, but Jesus told him, today we will be in heaven together. And again, I know people in their 20s who maybe were baptized as a child, and it became more real to them. Their faith became more real to them. They decided to be baptized again, if you will, or upon their own choice. I know couples that have been baptized together. Myself, I grew up in a Christian Reformed church, and I was baptized as a baby. I was sprinkled in our church, so I was considered baptized. But then when I was in full-time ministry and I was a youth pastor at the time, speaking to young people, and I had, I don't remember, 7 youth that wanted to be baptized. I actually, the lead pastor of our church, I was baptized and dunked, rebaptized at that time. And the lead pastor baptized me, and then I turned around and baptized those other people in our youth group. It was a wonderful celebration. Baptism services are some of my favorite services. You just experience the Lord in a whole new way, just declaring his people, seeing people's faith come alive. And I really believe the Holy Spirit does a work in someone's life through baptism, making a public declaration. I often, ask the question, when is someone saved? They say it takes an average of 7 times to witness to someone before they receive salvation. But even as, again, when I was a youth pastor, I saw youth go up and almost sometimes every week and ask for salvation, you know, time and time and time again. And I know that even for myself, you know, throughout years, you know, if even though I was saved, if someone said a salvation prayer, I would, if you will, enter into that prayer. You know what I mean? But the question is, was I baptized on the first time or the 20th or the 50th? I was baptized. I mean, I was saved the first time, but it's not wrong to say that prayer over and over again. And I believe the same with baptism. It's a declaration of your faith. And if it's a new, you know, people's lives change in so many ways, and we go through things, and if you want to be baptized again, that's all right. Again, come out. We'll talk more about that. We'll look at scripture. And it's just one class, about an hour long. And we're also talking about membership, joining membership for this church as well. And we encourage you to be members so that you can vote and have decisions and be a part of some of the more discussions of things going on here at this church. And lastly, I'll just say Jesus was baptized. We want to follow him. You know, was he saved beforehand? How does that work? Anyway, but he chose to be baptized by John the Baptist. Come and get all these questions answered at that baptism course. You guys, what? So not this Wednesday, the following Wednesday, right? You got it? The more the merrier. Well, if we just spend the whole service baptizing people, then that's great. Amen? All right. The past 2 weeks, this is our third week, we're talking about learning to hear the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm speaking about. And we have learned that hearing is part of our identity as Christians. Hearing God is part of identity. We learned in John chapter 10, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And then in 27, we just read this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And we talked, I gave the description about how, for those who weren't here, about how I knew a pastor who was somewhere having dinner, and there were shepherds. There were 6 different shepherds. They all had all of their sheep in one massive field together. And they didn't know how to pastor was like, how in the world do these shepherds know to differentiate what sheep is theirs and what's another's? But he didn't ask the question. He just, at the end of the night, the first shepherd went to leave. And he made a call, kind of like a whistle, and just started walking. And literally these sheep that were there, that followed him, pulled out from the rest of the pack and followed their shepherd. And he was just like, this is incredible. And then the next shepherd got up and did the same thing. And the sheep that he was overseeing got up and pulled out of the pack and started following that shepherd. And then the next and the next. And it's just such a beautiful description of Jesus, how he is our shepherd. He speaks, he makes a call, we know his voice. I love John 10:4 again that says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And week one, we looked at how do you hear, and we talked about how we hear through community, through the Bible, and through prayer. We hear God speaking to us through reading the Bible first and foremost, through our prayer life. And we're going to talk a bit more about that this morning as well. And through community. It's important to be plugged into a local body of Christ and to even have personal mentors in your life and friends that can encourage you in your faith, that can help you make decisions, help pray for you, pray together to make decisions for the future of any need or any situation. Now, last week, I asked the questions, how can I hear God? How does God speak? Is he speaking to me? And the good news is, yes, God is speaking. But like a radio host broadcasting his voice to the airwaves, God speaks all the time. The question is, are we tuned in to the right frequency? Are we listening to what God is saying to us? God is waiting for us to get in position to listen. And a lot of times life can be so busy, I believe that that's almost the devil's number one way of getting us off track, is just making us too busy, that we don't give the Lord time to be able to receive from him and listen. Even Jesus modeled this for us. We talked about this, Luke 5:16. It says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus went away to a solitary place. He always retreated to solitude. He did this to prepare for a major task or to recharge after hard work or to work through grief, because he was 100% human and 100% man. He experienced grief. Before making an important decision, he went into solitude in a time of distress, which is before he went to the cross. And he was bleeding blood. He was so stressed. Imagine being so stressed that he was bleeding blood out of his forehead. And he also went away to solitude to focus on prayer. And I also gave an easy way to start, saying, hey, this is not difficult. It's not weird. And I encouraged you to set an appointment, to be still and worship, to pray and read, to listen and write. And as you do this, you can hear from the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And I also just said, hey, a great model for this is worship the word in prayer. Take 5 minutes in your day when you wake up and worship. Just put on worship music. You know, you don't have to sing or play guitar to worship, but just settle your heart. Put on a song. You know, put on a worship song on YouTube, your favorite worship song. Take 5 minutes of reading the word. You know, I encourage you to read the Bible, get a great devotional to help you read through the Bible as well. And then take 5 minutes of prayer. Now, this is something that this is a starting place for us. This is just something, if you've never done that, if you don't do that regularly, even if you miss a day, it's okay. You know, I understand busyness. We all miss days. But it doesn't mean miss days where maybe that time is. It doesn't mean we don't pray on the way to work or in the middle of our day. And that's the great thing about the Lord. He's always with us. There are times when I'm so busy or something, and I'll literally do this. My wife will text me and say, can you pick up milk on the way home to work, from work or whatever? And I'll literally say to myself, Lord, help me remember this. You know, and, you know, we can The Lord is always with us, and that's okay. He walks through those things. But this practice will revolutionize your life. And we're going to talk a bit more about this, how God puts desires in our heart naturally to lead us and guide us. It can be as simple as smiling to someone in your day or calling someone. I gave the illustration of when I was with a pastor. I was driving, and he pulled onto the side of the road, and he's just like, there's something about this person. There's this person that popped into his mind, and he hadn't seen them in over 10 years, and they were a missionary, and he just felt the desire, the need to pray for them. So he prayed for them, and just prayed whatever was in his heart, just prayed, you know, and then a week later, he received an email from them just saying they had been through this really rough experience and just encouraging people to pray. And he hadn't heard from them in over 10 years. That is the only explained by our Lord and Savior, our God, that does that in someone's heart. So if you feel the need to call someone up and just encourage them, you know, you don't necessarily know what someone else is going through. And especially now, this past year and a half, mentally, people can go through really difficult situations. So you want to be able to be there for them and allow the Lord to do that, to work through those things. Well, this morning, I also wanted to say, too, just I gave the illustration of I know my wife's voice and how, you know, our first week in dating, I might have not been able to pick her voice necessarily out from a crowd, but we've been married for 16 years now, and she can call me on the phone, and I know, you know, her voice. I know her tones, you know. I know her look, you know. Every husband knows this look from their wife. You know, and again, just it's God made us. God is, you know, God the Father through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and we are made spirit, soul, and body. We're made in His likeness. God created us for relationship, and we recognize God's voice the exact same way by spending time, by taking time to listen, by knowing His word. Again, we have 3 points this morning. I'm going to give them to you up front. Normally, I give them one by one, but just so you know where we're going. The first one is keep your heart from selfish motives and preconceived ideas. The second one is have a heart that is ready to obey. And those two go hand in hand. And then the last one that I just love, because there's so much wrapped up into this, is know the character of God. And we're going to go through 8 traits. They're not the only traits, but just 8 traits that I came up with that I really wanted to mention that we've been covering over the past few weeks as well. So, point number one, keep your heart from selfish motives and preconceived ideas. Another word is purge your heart, or the Bible uses the word circumcise your heart from selfish motives and preconceived ideas. Why do we do this? Because our flesh, our greed, or pride, they're voices that will hinder us from hearing God's voice. And many times, like I said, we're not tuning into the right frequency when we're walking in those types of things. We need to keep our heart from greed, from pride, from our flesh. But God promised to give us the desires of our heart, not the desires of our selfish, prideful flesh. When seeking God for direction and attempting to hear from Him, it's necessary to lay all of our personal preferences aside. And that's how the Lord leads us. You know, if it was my choice, and, you know, and I just said, hey, Lord, you know, my desire is to start a church in Hawaii, you know. Anyone on board with that? Now, I actually, again, when I was in YWAM, when I was out of high school, I was with Youth of the Mission for 2 years. My second trip, my second year, I was based out of Hawaii, Honolulu, Hawaii, which was it was a smaller base. And I did missions in India. But try raising money to go to Hawaii. It's not a fun thing to do. I'm going to be a missionary in Hawaii, you know. Anyway, some of the most wonderful times of my life. But all that to say is, what if God called you to be in Alaska or the Arctic, right? Northwest Territories, would you go? You know, and what if God called you to your hometown? That might be a different thing. And I joke around about that because that happened to Danielle and myself. And we were in Flesherton doing ministry, full-time ministry, for 6.5 years. And I grew up in Markdale. My wife grew up in Flesherton. And I don't know how much time before that. I remember driving into Flesherton one time, and just kind of, it was like a cold, blizzardy day, icy. I remember driving, and it was icy as ever. And we're just like, and we were living in Alliston at the time, and it's like, who would want to live here? It takes so long to get groceries, you know? And then sure enough, we got a call from that church, and we felt the Lord saying, hey, go here. And I'm telling you, it was one of the most wonderful 6.5 years of our lives. We are so thankful for the Lord leading us. And that's how God works. I remember being young, even thinking, missions, why would anyone want to do missions? Give up, you know, to go live in the third world country. But I'm telling you, when I was a part of missions, when God called me to missions for those 2 years, it was the most wonderful, life revolutionary time ever. It was awesome. Can I give one more example of this? When I went to that church, I remember being in the interview and them talking about my job description again as a youth pastor. And I said, I was like, oh, you know, junior youth, senior youth, Sunday mornings, yes, I'll help, you know, be a part of worship. I led worship every Sunday. I was a part of weddings, funerals. But the one thing I don't want to do is children's ministry. And a year after being there, I happened to be in a conversation with someone who said, hey, it'd be great to start this program, an after-school kids program in schools in the Blue Water Board of Education. Call this person. Without knowing it, I literally had stepped in 4 weeks, we had started an after-school children's program. And I was like, Lord, this is the one thing I did not want. I said I wasn't doing this. And the Lord has a sense of humor, because that was the one thing that the Lord called me to. And we ended up being able to start them in about 6 or 7 at different times, schools all around the area, and reaching between 200 to 300 kids every single week. And over half of them had never heard of Jesus, never heard of Adam and Eve or David and Goliath. Isn't that incredible? And the Lord, it was just an amazing number of years through ministry, and that's how the Lord works sometimes. So again, we need to keep our heart from selfish motives or even preconceived ideas. This is the way it has to work out. But the Lord knows the big picture. We need to trust him. Amen? Again, our flesh can say, I won't do that. But we walk in God's blessing when we do the things he says and when we go where God calls us to go. God knows your giftings. He knows your makeup. He knows your personality. And he can place you in the perfect situation that only he is aware of. We need to steward our giftings in relationship to our calling, just like the parable of the talents as well. And we take it one day at a time and get better and better. I think I said this the first Sunday I was here. When I was in high school, I was the shyest kid you could ever imagine. And the Lord, over those 2 years of missions, before I went to Bible college, really took a fear of man away, because I trusted the Lord more than I cared about the decisions of every single person in my life. More than I cared about making an impression. Does that make sense? So, and I love this quote that I heard a mentor of mine say. He said, many times we overestimate what we can do in a day, but underestimate what we can do in a lifetime. Isn't that good? It's just take one step at a time. Just like a rudder on the ship. The Bible talks about this. It just steers us a little by little. Step out in something new. Do something that you've never done before. Don't get comfortable. Don't just expect someone else to do it. We as Christians are all God's hands and feet, the body of Christ. I know I've said this before, but when I was in missions and I sat down with Mother Teresa, such an important story where she told me, she started by reaching one person and then another and then another and then three and then 10. And then people gave her finances to reach more. And she said, go and do the same. That's what she told me. And it impacted my life because I realized I didn't have to save the world. I actually took the pressure off me. It allowed me to walk in the grace of God all the more. It's God doing the work. We're just taking the steps. We're just doing what he's called us to do, right? God can't reach people without us. And it's not that he can't. He doesn't want to. He wants to use us. He wants to be a part of our lives. He wants to have relationship. And that's why he leads us day in and day out. Whew! I'm going to preach myself happy this morning, okay? Cast away all the things you said you wouldn't do. And this is what Gethsemane was about for Jesus. He said, not my will, but yours be done, Father. This step establishes the will of God as a higher priority than our fleshly desires or our comfort. It's a great way to live. Before I lead worship, I always make sure I pray the prayer, Lord, or even preach. I say, Lord, let these words be your words, not of myself. The Lord will use me in my words and our team, but let it not be of selfish. It's not selfish desires. It's nothing to do with performance or anything. It's about coming to the Lord with a pure heart and just worshiping him with everything that we have. Because he is our God and Savior, and that's what we're going to spend eternity doing. Praise the Lord. Keep a yes in your heart to the Lord. And that comes to my second point, which is have a heart that is ready to obey. Again, this point is kind of like the first one, but keep a yes in your spirit with God at all times. This kind of heart is instant to obey. Again, it could be simple. It's just simple serving. Lord, where do you want me to serve? Do you want me to help out with youth group? Do you want me to help out with, you know, with this or this? It's the body of Christ coming together to accomplish his work. Three times in Hebrews, it says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do you want to hear God's voice today? Then don't harden your hearts. Now, how do you harden your hearts? It's by saying, I'll do anything but, or I'll go anywhere but do that. Someone here might be saying, I will never pastor. Or I'll never, maybe it's something completely different. Maybe it's a hurt. I'll never get married again. Or I'll never talk to this person again. Or I'll never go back home again. Just simply saying, Lord, you know these situations. You know my life. You know what we've been through. And God, give me strength to walk every day. Not my will, but your will be done, Lord. As we prayed this morning, the Lord's Prayer. We get this out of our spirit and hear God. Get rid of never from your vocabulary. And I ask, what was the last thing that God spoke to you? And have you been obedient to that? As you're obedient to that, you'll be more obedient to other things. If you're faithful in little, God will make you faithful over much. And this brings us to point number three, which is know the character of God. And I'm so excited to speak on this because I think this sums up so much, brings so much clarity to hearing the voice of God in our lives. Again, there's 8 character traits that will help us distinguish God's voice from every other voice. Why do I want to talk about the character of God? God will not tell you something to do something that violates his character. Okay? You can run all your decisions through the screen of God's character and see if it lines up with what God is telling you, because they are the same. Or in other words, God is not going to tell you to do something that isn't in line with his character or his word. I know a lot of people talk about, God said this in the New Testament, and this is the Old Testament, but God's character is seen throughout the whole thing. We don't have a different God or a personality change from old to new. God always desires grace and faith. Grace and faith, they work together. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a God of grace, of love, but he's also a God of justice. He cares about us, and he wants justice in our lives. And he will bring it. So let's go through these points, starting with number 1. The first one is he is faithful to his word. We sang about this morning. He is faithful. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believed and therefore speak." So everything he speaks to you will always be according to his word and in line with the Bible, with the word of God. 1 John 5:7 says, "The spirit and the word agree." God's spirit is not going to tell us something that doesn't line up with God's word. The Holy Spirit will never lead us to violate God's word. Number 2, the voice, his voice produces peace, not confusion. I know we've touched on this the past 2 weeks, but Proverbs 3:17 says, "All the paths of wisdom are peace." Colossians 3:15, "Let the peace of God umpire your hearts." James 4:7, The wisdom from above is peaceable. Now, this doesn't mean that God will not call you to do something hard or make hard decisions. But when you have the peace of God through it, you can know that God will fulfill his best through following him. And this will stop someone else from demanding you do what they say. What is God's will when it's not? You know, what if, have you ever been in a situation where you say, where one person in your life, maybe in your community, will say, "This is the right thing for you to do." And someone else will say, "This is the right thing for you to do." And then sometimes someone else will say, "Well, no, you need to do this." And someone else will say, "You need to do this." That's where it gets confusing. And that's where the rubber hits the road. And sometimes that's where we have to really spend time before the Lord in prayer and in his word. There have been times where I've needed to make a decision. I'm like, this is something I can't hear from anyone, any man. Lord, I need to know, I need to see this in your word. And he has shown me through scripture what is the right thing to do. And that's awesome. This week I was even in a situation where someone I hadn't talked to in a long time in years had sent me a message and just said, "Hey, I want to talk to you about something." And I hadn't talked to them, and just knowing where their lives were at that time, they weren't following the Lord, but but it actually was just like, oh no, what are they going to say? You know, I wasn't even sure if it was going to be a persecution, rebuke of my faith, but it was actually the complete opposite. And I had to get before the Lord and pray and find strength to phone that person. And I could have not phoned them, but I was just like, Lord, you know what? I'm going to believe the best in the situation. I'm going to trust you for the outcome. And it took a lot of courage to call them. And the phone call was not, just, again, preconceived ideas goes back to my first point. It was actually the complete opposite. It was actually a thing of going, hey, I can't get this out of my head. And I believe that God is calling me, or that I actually feel like God is real. Can you come and sit down with me and teach me about this? And it was like, thank you, Jesus. But again, God can give you peace, not confusion, through the hardest of situations. Number three, his voice and leading will bring liberty, not bondage. 2 Corinthians 3:12 says this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. John 8:32 says, the Son has come to set us free. Are we making sure that we're, again, God's voice will lead us into liberty and bondage? Are we making sure that we're making decisions that will truly bring us freedom? And I've said this a number of times over the summer. It's not the freedom to choose. It's making choices, wise choices, that bring freedom. Most people just want the desire to choose, but God can show us what to choose. And those choices are what bring us freedom. Amen? The next one is, he is patient, not impulsive or hasty. Another way of saying it is, don't be forced into a decision. If God hasn't spoken and someone is pressuring you into a decision, don't say yes. God can get it to you another way. He can bring you another deal. We need to steward what you say. Yes, no, what you say yes to and what you say no to. And allow God into those decisions. And I've heard many stories about this. You know, I'm being pressured into buying this car, and or make this business deal, or do this, And again, God is not patient, impulsive, or hasty. He doesn't force a decision. When you say yes to God, it should be an easy yes, not questionable. Because otherwise that could be dangerous, right? When I proposed to Danielle, I was pretty sure she was going to say yes. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't going to be a no. Or I have to think about this. last week I mentioned HBO, hear, believe, and obey. When we hear from God, then we can believe it, and then we can obey. And that's what brings success in our lives. Hearing the Lord, before we move, have we heard from the Lord? Is he directing our paths? 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is, what? Is patient. Love is patient. Isaiah 28:16 says, whoever believes will not act hastily. Again, when you're walking prayerfully in all your decisions, you will know what God is saying when it's time to say yes and no. Number five, his voice will always leave us with hope, not discouragement or depression, even when God corrects us. Even when he corrects us, he leaves us with hope. 1 Corinthians 13, again, verses 7 and 13, both say, love always expects and never gives up. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And if God treats us this way, we need to treat others this way. There was a time where I had to bring correction to a youth after making a horribly wrong decision. And when I walked into that situation, to be honest, there was a lot of me that just wanted to plow them over. And there are times when God needs to bring discipline to that person, and there's a strictness about it. But in this situation, it was almost like the Lord saying, you need to give this guy, teach this guy about the grace of our Lord. Know that they are loved, even in the middle of their bad decision. That person knew that they had made the wrong decision. You know what I'm saying? They did not need to be pushed away even more or be ticked off. Yes, they needed leadership and guidance in their life. And I wanted to continue stepping into that place with that young person. But even in the middle of rebuking of that person, I told them that they're covered by grace and that they are loved. And hopefully next time that they will make a different decision than they did the first time, because they know that they were handled with the love of Christ. You know, sometimes disciplining children can be somewhat similar, right? We need to discipline our kids. God calls us to. Yet, we don't just need to say, you're a bad child, you're a bad boy, you're a bad girl. You say, you are a good girl, you're a good boy, but this is a bad decision. And we need to bring leadership and guidance to that. That's a whole other sermon, right? I could spend a lot of time on that. Number 6, his voice instills confidence, not fear and intimidation. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. 1 John 3:21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. You can be shy in personality, again, but not back down to fear and intimidation. We all can have a backbone, you know, despite our personality. Don't walk in intimidation or fear, but be confident. Number 7, humility rather than pride. James 4:6 says, God gives grace to the humble. Matthew 11:29 says, Jesus is meek and lowly of heart. Humility, not pride. Pride puffs up. Humility, we talked about this summer too. Humility is the root of the Spirit that produces the fruit of the Spirit. Humility, when you walk in humility, it produces all of the fruits of the Spirit. Number 8, this is our last one, love, not selfishness. 1 John 4:16 says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. This is awesome because if someone gives a prophetic word to you or says, hey, I feel the Lord saying this, again, the best thing we can do is run it through the screen of God's character to know that it lines up. If it doesn't line up, it can be from left field. Do you know what I'm saying? Someone once knocked on my door and when I was young and said, I think you're supposed to marry this person. I'm serious, they did that. And I was just like, man, God has not talked to me about that. Now you use discernment because sometimes prophetic words can be about your future, but again, it should line up with everything that we've talked about. Like it lines up with God's word. It brings peace, not confusion. Liberty, not bondage. It is patient, not impulsive or hasty. It will leave you with hope, not discouragement or depression. Humility, not pride. Love, not selfishness. Isn't that good? And again, God will put this in your heart. We need to learn to trust and follow the desires of our heart. This is the reason that I started off the sermon talking about keeping your heart from selfish motives and from preconceived ideas, because they're directly different from following the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." The key to distinguishing the desires of your heart from the desires of the flesh is by first delighting yourself in the Lord. And once you've yielded to the Lord and again purged your heart from selfish desires, keeping a yes in your spirit, God will trust you to follow your heart. Here's also the difference. God didn't say here that he gives us whatever we want. Rather, he gives us the want. That's why it's so important to start with the basics. Spend 15 minutes of time with the Lord. Worship, the word, and prayer. And I guarantee it will revolutionize your life. God will drop something in your heart. You might even not know it was God. Just like, I'm supposed to encourage this person or call this person or smile at this person. Or maybe it's something like, hey, I'm supposed to tell this person about Jesus. He will do that too. I'm supposed to call this person. God puts his desires in us, and they're not selfish or greedy. Going from your last church to this church to say, hey, we want to build something bigger and more beautiful, not for the purpose of a building, but to worship the Lord in, to come together. It's not greedy to want something new or newer, as long as they've done it out of the right motives. They've been prayed upon, and there is peace and unity, and God has given you a green light. Amen? That's the importance of a pastor walking with deacons, with leadership as well, making decisions together. How do we stop following the Lord? We wake up and decide to walk by the flesh. And people do that every day in their walk, whether it's Christians or pastors or whoever. We need to wake up every morning and say, Lord, I welcome you into my day. I choose to follow you. It's as simple as that. Why? Because God is good. He is the Father of lights that wants to give us good gifts. All things good are from God. The devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. When bad things like that happen, we don't blame God for that, because God is love, God is good. And we live in a fallen world. But we need to be aware of those things. We need to pray against the devil. We can rebuke the devil. We can stand against that. We can hear his voice and be led a different way. It can change many outcomes of our life. But when things don't go your way, or don't go as planned, or according to your preconceived ideas, that's okay. God is still with us each and every day. He's still in control. He still will give us strength and purpose in our lives, because he loves us and he's always reaching out to us and wants to do life with us. If you've never accepted Jesus, today is the day for salvation. There is not a better day to accept Jesus into your heart than today. We are called to be fisher of men, and I know I say this every week, but that's okay, right? But if you have not made the decision to follow Jesus, you are not going to spend eternity with him. And you need to make the decision. You're not going to hear from God's voice on a daily basis. And the number one way, it starts right here by saying, Lord, I accept you into my life. I make you my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Speak to me, Lord, as I follow you. You are a good shepherd that loves us and wants the best for our lives and gives us the desires of our hearts because he places the desires in us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are for us, that you love us, that your word leads us. Lord, I pray we just invite you into our everyday, Lord, as we leave this building. May we see you in our everyday lives. May we hear your voice. We worship you. We give you all the praise and the glory. For you are above all things. And we just welcome you into our day. Lord, we thank you for this church, for the celebration of this anniversary, for the food that we're going to have. And we pray blessing on it. In Jesus' name right now. Lord, thank you that you are our provider. Lord, thank you for the finances as well that come into this church. I pray that you would multiply them and use it for your glory in this church and in this community, Lord. Lord, thank you that your church is the hope of the world, that you work through every local church, and we work for you. Not because we have to, but because we want to, Lord. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now may the Lord bless you. Lord, make his face.